PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
What's going on out here?
Call the police. Tell the sheriff I shot him.
Who?
Tell him he's still on the loose.
Is this some kind of joke? I've been trick-or-treated to death tonight.
You don't know what death is.
For the mind of North America will be fought in the video arena. The video drone.
We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be.
Television.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 249 of Cinema Crespediso. That's right. We've done this 249 times. I'm talking about just a straight up normal weekly show that we do. Not even the bonus episodes, the side things, the hooplas, the crossovers.
And it still sounds like you have no idea.
And we still sound amateurish. Here's on the PFT Radio Network, hashtag PFT Media. Hit us up on Twitter at PFT Media. I'm Chris Crespo, your film critic, podcast host, entertainer extraordinaire for the next undisclosed amount of time. Episode's not recorded yet, so I can't tell you how long the episode is. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a psychic, although I am Crespo Damas, and I will tell you the future. I'll also be wrong about it, so that's my disclaimer about that. Asterisk. Crespo Damas is sometimes wrong. But I do have your threat update. Your threat update is current as of 2 hours ago. Current threat level is lime. Current threat level is lime. Disguise your misdeeds.
Already did that.
You ever meet Ms. Deeds? Nice lady.
Did she?
She was my seventh grade teacher. Ever introduced Ms. Deeds? But apparently I have to disguise her. Disguise my misdeeds.
Sorry, when I was growing up, you had a science teacher, Mrs. Bates.
Mrs. Bates.
Her husband. This real old school couple. She called him Master.
Master Edgar Bates.
Something of the sort.
Something like that, right?
Master Bates.
Ladies and gentlemen, with me is Drew Cigar and Drew.
I like how you and the magic waggle fingers, like this is sort of magician or something.
This is
like,
for the audience. This is how the Drew.
Like you were conjuring me.
I was conjuring the Drewster. And it was a visual aid for the audience.
The visual aid for the audio audience.
The audience. That's right. They're listening to some bumping music. They're listening to the intro. We're letting them know what's going on. It's episode 249. I'm Chris Crespo. You're Drew Cigarburn.
How many times are we going to say that in this first 5 minutes?
Well, we're at the 4 minute mark, so we'll see.
So we'll see, exactly. We'll find out.
How's it going, dude?
It's going.
We are without a guest this week. Not for a lack of trying, I have to say. It was just the type of thing where, I'll tell you. First off, we're mostly booked through the end of November, as you can see on the board here. Mm-hmm. Between now and November, there's only one other Sunday that's open that I'm going to be filling up pretty soon here. And some people returning and some new people. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. There are some people turned down by two people. Mm-hmm. Turned down, straight up no. One of them was because a very busy person, where that's what they claimed. And I'm like, okay. And then here's how I know, Drew, when we're being like turned down
because of scheduling, because you know, it doesn't work out, or when we're being turned down, and I say we, because I include you in this, because you're part of the show, dude. Mm-hmm. When we are turned down, because it's like, oh, go fuck you, go fuck yourselves.
I mean,
I know where to.
Christian, you know how often I get told to go fuck myself.
Oh yeah, sure, yeah. But I mean, in the context of this specifically, if I ask someone, you know, about being on, and they say no, give their reason why. I don't want to say excuse. Give their reason. Do they come up with a hit me up again down the road, or I can do these dates? Do they give me a time that they can in the future, or
they say yeah, fuck you,
or they just say no? But hey, yeah, you want to come and do my show? Have these dates open? No. Oh, well, we have other dates.
Nope. Open.
No. All right, thanks, I guess.
Mm-hmm, go fuck yourself.
Thanks. That's what it feels like when it's like, all right, go fuck jeez, I'm sorry. Then. Sorry, you know, just offering you the nicety of being on Orlando's best film podcast. One of Orlando's best podcasts, period. I'm not even going to qualify with film.
Florida's number one movie podcast.
Florida's number one movie podcast for sure. Orlando's one of Orlando's best podcasts. Damn funny. No, I know it's fun. We have people fighting to be the number one guest, the most returning guest. Know what I mean? I have listeners that hit me up like, hey, I want to be on your show.
Has anyone beat SBK yet?
Yeah, Etchie's at like 14, I think. And I think Curtis is at 9.
Ah, does Etchie count anymore, though?
As a guest? Yeah, sure.
Does it?
As a show guest?
Does it really count now?
Yeah. Why wouldn't it? Just because we are co-running a network?
Mm-hmm.
I think it still counts.
I'm not sure if it does.
I think it still counts.
I think it should be an asterisk.
Well, then your appearances on Tidbits don't count anymore. People, they're still up there. We rebooted Tidbits, but the old episodes are still up. Go back and listen to episode 3 of Tidbits. It's still there. And listen to some of Drewster's stories about his high school days in Sarasota. Oh. Yeah, Drew, that's still up there.
I only vaguely remember recording that.
Yeah, well, it's up there. Yeah, it's up there. Some incriminating stuff. It's good times.
Oh, a lot more than incriminating.
Yeah.
We're like straight up admission of guilt.
Like, we're pretty sure. We're hoping the statute of limitations is up on some of the stuff incriminating.
I know for a fact that golf course no longer exists.
Well, first off, the golf course no longer exists, so there's no one to press charges, which is good.
That's good.
And also, it's a story that involves upper reaches of local government.
Well, of local, I mean, and of Sarasota and Dade County at one point in time.
Yeah, so come on. Yeah. Episode 3 of the original Tidbits.
Yeah, that's kind
of
wacky.
That's Juicy Coburn. If it was in episode 1 of the original Tidbits, I'd tell my story of when I get on Douglas Movies, because it was right after the first time I was on Douglas Movies. So that's my plug for Tidbits. There we go. I guess we're plugging Tidbits this week. Didn't even plan it. PFTmedia.com. Yeah, Edgy still counts, and I think Curtis is at like 10? Maybe 9? Curtis is right on there, and he's coming back in before the end of the year, so he'll be catch up to Kevin. I think Simon's still around 4 or 5, and who else wants to? Other people that have thrown their hat in the ring are still lower. Chico's at like 6 or 7. Got to get him back in here. When was the last time I met Chico? It's been a while. It's been a while.
Couple months.
So we had Chico in here. It's been at least a few months. So, any other? I mean, since we're talking network stuff, has people, have you gone back and listened to episode 10 of the Simon Time Trivia Show? Drewster Cogburn, come on!
For the win, bro.
That's what I'm talking about. I'll stop at the afro.
I have such an issue with that.
I know,
it's so strangely racist.
But it's Chris Rock doing it.
No, exactly, but the same... Yeah, exactly.
It's weird. He's a zebra, man. They're from Africa. It's cool. Is it? Not gonna go down that road anymore.
I'm gonna get off Afro Circus. I'm sorry.
Afro Circus.
When you say Afro Circus, I get a very specific picture in my mind.
Are you picturing a rainbow afro?
No.
That's important. The visual is for sure a rainbow afro. If I remember the trailer, I'm 99% certain he's wearing a rainbow afro as he's doing the. I hit the button. It didn't work. It's a sign. Exactly. I have a new drop, Drew. You want to hear it? Out of context? You just want to hear this new drop?
Sure.
You can help me figure out a way to...
Out of context.
All right, here we go. Where can I... Oh, you know what? It's on the other board.
Of course it is. That's not up there and ready to go.
New Billy D's, maybe?
It's pretty metal.
It's just new ABR. Mm. It's the very beginning of the new ABR. Out of context, it's just a metal riff. But I pulled it. I was like, you know, screw it. Let's just Let's have some fun with add some board stuff.
Pull it.
I still keep the ability of these.
Yank it, Chris.
Yank it, pull it, bop it.
Twist it.
Twist it, twist it. Yank it, jerk it. Squeeze it. Jack it. Rub it. Lick it. Tease it. That was a game we all played, right?
Bop it?
Yeah, with a question mark. That's how it was marketed at the end of the 3rd second.
Bop it?
Good times. Good times. It's a little later in the day. So I'm actually trying to I was gonna say I'm catching up on my drinking, but that's not true. I was just at my parents' house. Where
catching up on your drinking?
So I grew up in a very religious household, but then after I move out, all of a sudden my parents discover, or they don't discover booze, but then they're just like, yeah, we'll just keep it on the open now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you're not a kid anymore, so you know.
My brother was still a kid.
They're not trying to.
My brother benefited from a more lax parentage.
Yeah.
I guess that's how it works. So it with is. The older, younger dynamic.
Mm-hmm. No.
So, it's later in the day. We don't have a guest today. I tried. One person said that they're busy, but they want to try again in 2018. So, we're going to see if we can make that happen in 2018. The other person said,
no.
Not doing podcasts now, parentheses. Go fuck yourselves, close parentheses. I was like, I can read between the parentheses. You don't need the parentheses. I can read it. It was a text-based message.
Read between the parentheses, Chris.
You know who turned us down? I don't know if he's even still there. He might even still be there. He's probably still there. I don't give a fuck. Who gives a shit anymore? I tried to get the programming director at the Enzian in here.
Oh, okay.
This was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And maybe even the first year when the show was still in our first year around. And I tried to get the program director in here. I was like, hey, I would want to talk to this guy about how you pick movies. I think it was the guy. I can't remember who it was anymore. I was like, I want to talk about how you do this. What's the mechanics of this awesome thing that I love? Then also we can promote your sweet nonprofit theater that needs all the loving you can get. And that's when I got not interested.
Go fuck yourself.
Actually, you know what I got was, can you come in on this weekend? Like, I gave a date, and like, I'm busy that weekend. I was like, I was like, how about this one? And then he was like, I'm busy on all the weekends. Oh, it was weird. It was another read between the lines situation. Mm-hmm. Where's the first finger, and then the ring finger, but then the middle finger's in the middle, that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just trying to have fun.
Not everybody's interested in your podcast, Chris.
Just trying to be cool, bro. Everyone's not. Are you sure the numbers prove that?
I
guess.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I had a couple people say straight up no, and then...
I mean, fuck, Chris. I've been number two on the show for the last 4 years, and I barely give a fuck.
You don't care about the podcast either. That's because you're true Chicago.
Yeah.
That's how you run. What was the last podcast you listened to voluntarily on your own?
Don't.
Exactly.
I don't.
Never.
Not one.
And there's some good ones out there,
I'm
man.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure on our
network.
Chris, I'm sure there are podcast awards that I give no shits about.
The potties.
Sure. That sounds like some place where you take a shit.
Well, then it's the perfect name for podcasts. We'll give away the first annual potty awards.
I gotta take a shit. Where are you going? The potties.
I'm going to the potties. Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people use their phone on the toilet. Yeah. On the toilet. Toilet. So, yeah, we'll organize the potties, Drew, and you can be the MC, and you can just talk about how podcasting is stupid and how it'll be a room full of podcasters. So you can be like, your podcast is stupid. Your podcast is stupid. Just go around the
your
room.
Your podcast is stupid.
And then everyone...
You're all stupid for investing time and effort into these podcasts.
Into new media. Like, you guys are dumb. You're just pretending to be radio hosts, but you can't be on the radio because the radio's a dying medium.
On that note... Here's the potty for the best podcast host.
Best host. We have Dick McSparks from your favorite sports show in North Carolina.
Beardo and the Stash.
Beardo and the Stash. Yeah, man, I hope Beardo and the Stash wins this year. We've been nominated and shafted 4 years in a row. I hope we win. Yeah, it'll be fun. I think we should do the potties. Welcome to the potties. Welcome to the potty, pal. That's an Arnold Schwarzenegger line. Arnold, we'll get Arnold to give away one of the things. We'll get Arnold to do the intro so he can say, "Welcome to the potty."
Get to the potty.
I see you. No, there's a specific line about a party in Total Recall. What is it? See you at the party.
See you at the potty.
See you at the party, Richter. I think that's what it is. See you at the potties. That's what we need. We need Total Recall, Arnold.
Awful.
It's when he's holding two severed arms in his hands and then he throws them down. And he's like, see you at the party. But the guy's clearly dead, Drew. He's dead. Mm-hmm. He can't go to the party. But the thing is, he told him earlier he was going to a party.
But if he's dead, he can't go to the parties. Now he's
dead and he can't go to the parties.
He can go to the parties if he's dead.
You can't go to the parties if you're dead?
It's
because the party, the reception will be in hell.
I mean, it's going to be awful anyway. You might as well be dead while you're there.
It's going to be pretty awful. It's going to be pretty terrible. If it's anything like the episode of this podcast, the potties are going to be horrible. 100%. So we have no guests, Drew. It's just you and I. And I figured let's flip things around. Let's do things a little differently. We've only done this once before. Here we go. Let's just drop this in. Where is it? Oh, nope. Wait. Nope. Nope. You got it, Drew. You got it. You ready? Remix edition, bro. We're remixing the show. Remember when we did this?
So stupid.
Remember when we did this? It is stupid, but I took all the time to make that drop and this new bed, and I have the game board.
Yeah, I still have the game board.
So game board, I'm popping right there. Drew, you're playing the game. For people who don't know, the game board, the remix episode was episode 200 with DJ Baby Lack. We have a game board here. 9 segments of the show, 1 through 9. Drew is going to randomly go through these, 1 through 9, and we're going to remix the Crest Benito show. Why are you so good? You look so exasperated, Drew. This is a fun thing. We're having fun. Come on. You're not having fun with it. It's just you and I, dude. You ready? Yeah. Oh, man. I still have to send you emails and stuff. So here we go. We're doing it. I'm at 5% battery. Drew.
You better send me those emails quick.
I'm going to do that. As I do that, you grab that game board. 1 through 9. Here we go. Flip one. Let's see. What is the first segment for today's Crest Benito episode 2?
Movie news.
Oh, Chris. Shit. Here we go. Movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently, Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the Beats?
Oh, man, here we go. The most important movie segment in all of podcasting, Cinema Crest Benito Movie News. Even though my phone's at 5% battery, it just shut off on me. Booyaka, booyaka, booyaka,
brah, 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 brah. So only 2 emails?
So, I saw my tablet.
Okay.
It's all good. I'll just use my tablet. I'll just wait for this music to die off there. And Bieber's dead. So, here we go. Movie news. First off, Harvey Weinstein. There was police were called to his daughter's house a few days ago before he went off to Europe. News came out today, breaking today, this afternoon, why the police were called out to his daughter's house. Harvey was there before he flew off to Europe to some sex addict rehab bullshit place that rich people go to hide when they're getting ready to be charged with rape. And suicidal threats or whatever was going on. It was, not looking good. Not looking good there. The dominoes are falling now. You know, a lot of people are being called out on their shit as need be. We've alluded to this in the past. Even, I think, reported about it when it came up a couple years ago. We talked about it a bit last week. But, man, Steven Seagal is gross, Drew. And it's such a bummer. Remember his show, Steven Seagal, Lawman?
Vaguely.
He was working with the Louisiana police.
Yeah.
Like, they deputized him. And it was this fun little stupid show where he was like, they would drive by a group of black kids sitting on the corner, and he'd be like, I think there's something up with these guys. It's like, yeah, Steven, they're black. And they pull him over, and of course, it's a TV show, so they don't show the ones where they stop the kids and there's nothing. Like, oh, look, they have drugs and guns, I knew it. And, oh man, like straight up crazy rape allegations coming out against Seagal. And he's living in Moscow now. He ain't never coming back to America.
Mm-mm.
He's going to pull Polanski and mm-hmm. say there. Also, Woody Allen coming out saying, oh, he feels bad for Harvey Weinstein. Oh, Woody Allen, you suck. Lindsay Lohan also put out a post on Instagram how she, like, people were like way too quick to judge Weinstein. And she was like trying to defend him, and then it got deleted because people were coming at her like, you crazy girl.
Mm-hmm.
You Lindsay Lohan, just chill out. Let me see here. This is a crazy story. Here we go.
This one.
TV reporter Elisa Guerrero. In 1996, Guerrero was a 31-year-old with a few minor roles to her credit. When her manager phoned with exciting news, they want you to read for the female lead in a Steven Seagal film, but the audition is going to be held at his house in Beverly Hills.
Ooh.
In the mid-90s, Seagal was a box office juggernaut, but Guerrero was wary of the offer. The casting agency offered to send a female associate to accompany Guerrero on the audition. This was a potentially huge break for me, but there was no way I was going there by myself. Upon arrival, Guerrero and Rhodes, who is the female accompaniment from sent by the agency, they were greeted by Seagal, who answered the door clad only in a silk robe.
Mm-hmm.
He ushered them into a side room where he sat in an oversized ornate chair on a platform. We called it the throne, says Guerrero, and asked Guerrero to read her scenes. When she finished, Seagal, who was also a producer on the film, fired down below. That's the one where he's got the tassels on his jacket and he's like fixing people's fortunes. You're fantastic. Tell me about yourself. Guerrero recalls, I drove home feeling pretty good about the audition. And that same day, my manager called. Steven wants to offer you the lead, she said. But you have to go back to his home for a private rehearsal tonight. Guerrero declined.
Dude.
Someone else, Caden Nguyen. But that's that Vietnamese Nguyen, mm-hmm. right? Nguyen. 23 years old. Answered an online Craigslist ad for an executive assistant job at Seagal's production company. And was soon on his private jet taken off from L.A., California, bound for New Orleans, Louisiana, the suit said. The reason why I brought up the Lawman TV show, Drew, this is why, right here. As the jet taxied down the runway, Mr. Seagal turned to Ms. Nguyen and said, I'm a family man and I live with my wife, but she wouldn't care if you were my lover. This is according to a lawsuit filed in L.A. County Superior Court. Ms. Nguyen decided to take a wait-and-see attitude, the suit said. After she arrived in New Orleans, she learned that the job she was expected to perform had nothing to do with being an executive assistant. Over the next 5 days, she was sexually assaulted 3 times by Seagal at a house many miles from New Orleans in a remote rural area of Jefferson Parish. That's where the show was shot. Seagal also kept, quote, 2 young Russian attendants on staff who were available for his sexual needs 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. During Gwyn's first time at the job, Seagal demanded a massage. He then proceeded to treat Ms. Nguyen as his sex toy. The suit gives graphic details of Seagal's alleged groping and fondling of Nguyen.
Fun.
Yes. So, Out for Justice was on AMC a few days ago.
Mm,
I watched the scene where he beat up some people in the bar. It's a mm-hmm. good scene. Yeah, it's a good movie. Mm-hmm. I like Out for Justice.
Mm-hmm. Steven Seagal's a piece of shit.
He sucks, man! True! He sucks.
Uh-huh.
He sucks. No more heroes. He's terrible. So the potty for biggest douchebag with an interesting filmography
goes to what? The entirety of Hollywood?
Not the entirety. I mean, you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Although, can you? Maybe you can. Maybe you should. Maybe it's a diseased baby.
It is a diseased baby.
We'll be talking about those Bayview babies. Bayview babies?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Something like 4 hours ago. You ready for that?
Yeah.
So Seagal sucks. Oliver Stone also gross. He tweeted also a wait and see response to Harvey Weinstein.
No.
Listen, even if you never sexually assaulted a woman before, especially if you're a straight white dude, don't take a wait and see approach to any of this stuff. Just sit back and shut up and you wait and see. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oliver Stone was like, oh, we should wait and see. And then some lady who was a Playboy playmate at one time, maybe not necessarily a playmate, but I guess if you do photo shoot, you're a playmate. Is that how it works? Or is that playmate of the month? I don't know how it works. She was in Playboy and she was at a Playboy party and Oliver Stone grabbed her titty, allegedly, so says her, walking out of the party. And so he's trying to be like, oh, wait and see Harvey Weinstein, you know, let him have his day in court. And she's all like, man, you're a serial groper yourself, Oliver Stone.
You grabbed my titty.
You grabbed my titty. So it's crazy out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gambit, the movie, Drew.
Dead in the water.
I know you're so excited for it. You think it's dead in the water? No, buddy. Good news for you. It's coming. Good news, man. I know you're so excited for it. Channing Tatum is making this happen by sheer willpower, Drew. I turned into a Southern hick for some reason to see this Gambit.
Yeah.
They got themselves a director, Gore Verbinski. The Ring remake, Rango, Pirates of the Caribbean 1, 2, 3. The Mexican. A Cure for Wellness. He's the director. And it's coming out in 2019.
I don't care, like, at all.
John Carpenter. We talk about John Carpenter. We're documenting his involvement with the new Halloween movie. It's that time of the year, anyway, October, Halloween and stuff. He said he's working on the music. He says, oh, I appear to have somehow signed myself up for, the way he puts it, like, I got myself roped into doing the music somehow. So he's contributing to the musical choices, and they haven't said specifically it's him doing a whole new score or if they're repurposing old music or what, but he is working on the music. He's very involved in the new Halloween.
Good.
Because that's not a given. He's a retired fellow.
Yeah.
So but he likes what he sees, and he's being excited about it. Then again, you know,
they're all probably just getting high together.
That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. He's also a stoner, and like dabs are really good these days. So who knows? He could just be like super high on that grateful beard, and he's like, "Man, that's a great idea, David Gordon Green." And he's probably high too. He's like, "Bro,
they're all getting high together."
Raspberry Kush. If Dana McBride ain't smoking weed, then like, I don't know who ain't. Who is it? Who ain't? Blade Runner 2049. Mm-hmm. Not the original title for that movie.
Okay.
I want to take a wild shot. I'll even give you a hint based on the original novel's title.
I don't know.
Do you know anything in the original novel's title? Not really. Of kind of a trivia question way? Mm-hmm. Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep is the Philip K. Dick novel.
Okay.
Great title for a short story or novel. Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep is a great title.
Yes, they do.
Blade Runner says that they do. Blade Runner : Android Dreams.
Okay. Sure.
Have you been okay with that, Android Dreams?
I mean, I like Blade Runner 2049 better.
It's because it's just logical, right? Yeah. And when I first heard 2049, but it's grown on me. It just logical and makes sense. Android Dreams feels like forced. Mm-hmm. Even if everything about the movie is exactly the same. Yeah. Exactly the same. Like, BR2049 works. The tab is a little slower than my phone, so because my phone's dead. Phantom Thread is coming out Christmas, Drew. Yeah, yo, bitch!
What?
Yeah, yo! Phantom Thread! Phantom Thread! Thread!
What?
Phantom Thread. You not excited for Phantom Thread?
I don't know.
I'll just move on to the next story.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, no, no. Phantom Thread is apparently the title for... They just put out the website. It just debuted with the release date, the official release date. Phantom Thread is the title for Paul Thomas Anderson's next film, which will be Daniel Day-Lewis's last as an actor, in which it's set in the 1950s world of English high fashion. And the release date is Christmas, as a matter of fact. So probably limited release on Christmas. January is when yokels like us out in the sticks of Florida, only the third most populous state in the country, in a podunk place like Orlando, only the 19th biggest, 20th biggest media market in the country, we'll have to wait a couple weeks to see it. Because, you know, because of the coastal elites, Drew, the ones who wanted Hillary in office. Pfft, thank God they didn't get their way. Am I right? Am I right? Mm-mm. Drew? Mm-mm. Drew! Mm-mm. The show's over here! Mm-mm. Supermarket Sweep is coming back to TV. Like the original Supermarket Sweep, not Guy Fieri's bastardized version that he's got going on.
Guy Fieri already have.
Not that bullshit. Like official, branded, properly Supermarket Sweep is coming back to TV. Network TV.
Hosted by?
They don't have any of that yet. They don't even know necessarily what network it'll be on. Expect over to be on which one has America's Got Talent?
I don't know.
I think that's ABC. Whoever has America's Got Talent.
I hear Tyrese is looking for work.
Tyrese, oh, buddy, Tyrese, man.
He needs work.
Apparently, he needs work between Fast and Furious movies. That's exactly the only thing he has going on.
Yep.
Poor guy. Get yourself a job, Tyrese. A better one. Where are you? That's your movie news segment. Drew, here we go. Back to the board. What was that? That was number 7?
Yep.
All right, well, here we go. Let's pick another number.
Vox Populi.
Oh, shit, the Vox Populi. That's perfect timing because I have one more email. I have one more email to send you here. I'm just going to go ahead and do that. And then, you know what's cool about the Vox Populi, Drew?
What?
So much little work for us to do.
No, other people do the work for us.
Yeah, but that's
all
why
I do is read it.
That's why shows do voicemails, emails, all this listener-created content is what's going on. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so they've all been sent to you. Here we go. Time for...
I know what you've all been waiting for. The world-famous...
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
I made it longer! Yay! People like long intros! No?
No.
It's a good album, Drew. The new August Burns Red just came out.
I'm sure it is.
Came out on Friday.
I'm sure.
Also, new Black Dahlia Murder.
Uh-huh. Still haven't listened to that.
Yeah, I've only given that one listen, but the ABR I've given a few listens. There's only a couple songs on there that I'm a little cold on. Vox Populi time! CinemaCrespiso@gmail.com, or you can join the Cinema Crespiso Facebook group and post a question there, or tweet us at Crespo Diso. D-I-S-O. So sexy. Drew Sicogran. What we got?
We got somebody on Twitter hit us up. Our buddy Larry.
What's up, Larry? Larry!
He says, saw Marshall last night in a theater with only 7 others present. Shame, Chadwick Boseman.
President!
Is damn cool as Thurgood Marshall.
Yeah, Chadwick Boseman. Boseman?
Boseman. Come on, Chris. You love this guy. You gave him Prince's fucking name.
This fake Yeti thing is almost halfway done, man. The box is catching up to me. Boseman is the man. I love the work that he does. I'm sure he makes a great Thurgood Marshall. Not a movie that got a lot of marketing behind it or anything. They just kind of put it out there to see what happened. It's interesting that... I wonder why Larry went and saw it. What compelled him to be like, of all the movies that are out there, have you not seen Blade Runner yet?
I mean, maybe he's just interested in Thurgood Marshall stories.
Or just cool. Or maybe it was a Chadwick Boseman that brought him out. Maybe he's becoming a Chadwick. Maybe he's...
Chadwick Boseman.
Maybe he's becoming a Chadwick Boseman completist.
Perhaps. Maybe he's just really hyped for Black Panther.
I want to see Chadwick Boseman and Bodine Woodbine. Woodbine? I'm trying to... How do I flip that one? Bodine...
What?
Bodine Woodbine? Bodine Woodbine? I guess it's still D's in the middle.
Yeah,
it is. I'm trying to do some A to C comedy, and I crash on my way over to B. I crash way over that thing.
You got stuck with all the D's in the middle, Chris.
What'd you say?
You heard me.
Welcome to the potties. I'm writing down the potties. I don't want to forget the potties. Thanks for the review of Marshall, because we did not see it. We saw 2 other movies this weekend. We did not see Marshall.
We also got a mini Blade Runner review from at Mr. Nadathon.
A mini Blade Runner review? Let's hear it.
After 2 viewings, it is still goss damn grand.
Oh, I see what you did there.
See what you did there?
I see what
you did. See? Uh-huh.
That's some good stuff.
Sure.
That's some good stuff.
I mean, if you say so.
Got that Harrison Ford Fungo Pop thing sitting over there looking at you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did.
He's got a gun.
Does he? I can't. Right now, I can't see him because the chair's too big.
Oh, fair enough. Through Fandango, if I get our Thor tickets through Fandango, I can get one for Thor.
Yeah, Thor one too?
Yeah.
They got one. They got a Hulk one that's one of the bigger ones. Because they also do like
it's bigger. Oh, that's cute.
They do like a 5-inch or a 6-inch, I think.
Yeah.
Where it's like I think like twice as tall as that one.
Yeah. Do they do a tiny Ant-Man?
I don't know.
They should do a tiny Ant-Man.
It's
do a tiny Ant-Man. Perfect for children to choke on so they can be sued.
Yeah.
It says on the box, don't give it to kids. They always say on the box, don't give it to kids. And they're goddamn big.
Yeah, they are. Well, I mean, kids are dumb.
Kids are dumb as nails.
Sure.
Nails are pretty dumb. You know who's dumb as kids?
You. I mean, you knew that was coming, Chris. Come on.
That's the end of the episode. Drew just took it out of me.
That's all it takes these days. A couple insults.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes. If you're not getting your ego constantly stroked, you're just done.
I need it constantly stroked, but then you gotta, like, when I say stop, you gotta stop.
That's the way it works.
You gotta stop when I say stop, or else then it's too much. Too much stroking. Do you know how edging works? So, excuse me. I was going to say, what was I going to say?
God, I don't know. What were you going to say?
I was going to say the potty for best edging joke obviously goes to Cinema Crespedisa. Yeah. I haven't heard one as good as that one in a while.
Sure.
Not enough edging jokes in podcasting. No. That's not true. Podcasting is all dick talking about jokes. Shits and dicks and jisms and other bodily emissions. Clean it up, people. Yeah. That's why we're not more popular. We don't talk about the bodily fluids enough.
Really?
Really?
I just made a comment, but you get stuck with a bunch of D's in the middle.
Exactly. And then we just kept on walking. Another poorer podcast with more listeners would have spent 10 minutes on that.
That's it for the most popular, Chris.
Is that really? That's it?
Yeah, no, it's the only emails you gave me.
Come on, guys. What a sad weekend. All right, well, here we go. Thanks, we appreciate it. Marshall and Blade Runner 2049 reviews. Really, that was it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, well, then here we go. Drew, you're in charge of the remix. What number is next?
Dr. Drew's 2 cents.
Oh, what?
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
All right, well, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Remember, Chris, procrastination is like masturbation. It feels great until you realize you're just fucking yourself. Cogburn out.
Oh, Drew Sir Cogburn working out his stand-up material, apparently. Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. I mean, it's pretty good. I wouldn't open with it. Bad. I wouldn't open
with it. I wouldn't close with it either.
It's definitely a nice filler there. A nice filler joke, gap joke. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Masturbation. I'm writing this down for the show notes. Masturbation equals determination. Is that what you said?
Yes, Chris.
That's what you said?
It's exactly what I said. My words exactly.
Okay, let's see what we have. We have 1, 2, 3. We have 4 segments left, I believe. How many numbers are left?
After the box office recap, we'll have 5 to go.
Alright, so is that what you said, box office recap?
Uh-huh.
Box office recap time. We'll be talking about them numbers, bitches. Here we go. Oh, shit. Juicy Cogburn. Where we starting top 5? Let's do it. Go.
Number
go.
5 this week.
True. Go. Go. True. Go. Go. No, I'm sorry.
You're sorry. It's fucking right. Number 5 this week. The Mountain Between Us. Made an additional $5.6 million, total of $20.5 million
for The Mountain Between Us after 2 weeks?
Yeah.
That's not bad for a little survival drama with Idris Elba and Kate Winslet. Both well-known names, but neither of them are, like, box office draws.
Not
you
anymore.
Know?
Or not yet.
I mean,
not yet for Idris's and not anymore for
Winslet. Has Winslet ever been necessarily a box office draw, though? People were seeing Titanic. People were seeing Titanic for Titanic. No one ever seen her. Like, DiCaprio came out of that.
No.
As a box office draw.
No.
People see movies for DiCaprio.
No.
When was the last movie you saw? Say, oh, I gotta go see that Kate Winslet movie.
I don't think I ever said that.
Right? Neither have I, to be fair.
Mm.
But I'm always happy when she shows up.
Sure.
I like her. You like Kate Winslet?
Good enough.
Just good enough for you?
No.
Just good enough.
Nothing spectacular.
Nothing spectacular. Okay. All right. There we go.
Number four this week.
Number four.
It.
Yes.
Made additional $6 million. Total of $314.9 domestic.
Wow. Another $6 million?
Mm-hmm.
How many weeks has it been? 6 weeks?
Six. Yeah.
Man, people are still seeing It. Well, it's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
It is a good
movie. Yes.
All right. Well, we've talked about It extensively. We've even done a spoiler bonus episode a few weeks ago. So by now, most of you have surely seen It. So you can listen to that spoiler episode and get down on all the spoilery deets with Drusa Cogburn and myself.
Number three this week.
Number three.
The Foreigner.
The Foreigner.
The Foreigner! Weekend gross $12.8 million. Same total.
How much?
$12.8.
That's it?
Yes.
It was a packed theater we were in.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and my uncle's in town, and I guess my brother as well, also went and saw The Foreigner separately at another theater.
Nice.
Said the theater was packed when they saw it.
Yeah, well, apparently not so packed.
What a surprise. That goes to show you anecdotal evidence is BS. We saw The Foreigner. We're not going to do a spoiler bonus episode, so I'm going to go ahead and say right now, we're going to spoil the shit out of this movie possibly
hey,
here.
Hey, Chris, as you pointed out,
uh-huh.
Nobody's a foreigner in this movie.
And no one's a foreigner in this movie. Because we're going to spoil the shit out of this.
Because Jackie Chan is technically
a British citizen.
He even makes a point of saying it in the movie.
They went out of their way.
I am a British citizen.
They went out of their way to point out that he's a British citizen in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
There are no foreigners in this movie. It was not a good movie.
It wasn't. No, I mean, Pierce Brosnan was fine. Jackie Chan was great.
He was great, and needed more Jackie Chan.
Although underused.
Yes! What? Where was all the Jackie Chan?
It seemed, well, I did come to find out that this director, same guy who directed GoldenEye.
Martin Campbell.
Yeah.
Yes.
So apparently,
thank you for mentioning that. When I came up at the end, it said directed by Martin Campbell. I was like, what? Come on. You've made good movies. He's also made bad movies.
Yes. There. Well, apparently, maybe he just got preoccupied with working with Pierce again, because it almost seemed like halfway through the movie, we started fixated on a different character.
It was all the movie is mostly about what was going on in Ireland and the Pierce Brosnan character.
Yeah.
And stuff with the authentic IRA.
There was very little Jackie Chan.
He was a side character in his own movie. Who was the foreigner? There was no foreigner. They kept calling him a China man. He's a British citizen, racist, and Brexit. And every time they had a scene that had like nothing to do with him, fuck.
No.
And then finally they'll cut back to me. Thank God. Thank God we're coming back to what people are here for. Jackie goddamn Chan.
No.
Being a badass. You don't go to see The Taken and then you watch two or three scenes in a row of scenes not featuring Liam Neeson or characters talking about Liam Neeson at least. At least be talking about the character we're here to see.
Yeah.
Man, I had problems with this movie. Okay. So there's at least two action scenes for Jackie Chan to do his Jackie Chan thing.
And that was about it.
Right, the one in the hallway, in the building.
Which was fun.
And then out in the woods when he's like, he set exactly three booby traps for four guys.
Yep, exactly.
And three of them got busted, but the fourth guy, he was like, I almost take the high ground. He's obviously got the jump on them.
Yeah, well, it's because, he's the leader of the bad guys.
He was the leader of the bad guys. So. He was the one competent. The whole subplot with the nephew and the wife, but the wife is an IRA plan, it turns out, and then...
It was all awful.
Okay, but... And so it is Martin Campbell, so he does make a handful of inspired choices here and there. My favorite part of the movie may have been also the one non... Look at this little bug here on my fucking pop screen. Get the goddamn...
He wants to eat you, Chris.
You know, that are flying to my mouth while I'm trying to talk. Mm-hmm. I'm a protein. I have pork today. There's a shot where Pierce Brosnan's character, was he the deputy minister?
Some sort of thing,
I don't understand Irish fucking government. And shout out to our Irish listeners. Those two guys listening in the pub. You guys are cool. And don't tell me you're not listening in the pub. I know you are. And if you're not, I'd be disappointed. It's him, and he's confronting the other IRA guy, the one that it turns out it's him all along, right? He's like, it's my bloody Simtex, or whatever you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they're confronting each other, so it's a wide shot in his office, or his home office, of the two of them. And as they were, like, face-to-face arguing with each other, in one cut, the camera was pushing forward. Do you remember that shot?
Vaguely.
And then it got really tight. It started as a wide, and they were arguing for like a solid minute. By the end of the minute, the camera was like, the frame that we were looking at was just dominated by their two faces in very dramatic lighting, like the shadows were on their faces. You don't remember that? I was struck by that. It was halfway through the movie, and I was like, whoa, this is an extremely bold choice for a scene not featuring Jackie Chan. And like halfway through a movie that has otherwise been very conventional. And then when I said directed by Martin Campbell, I was like, okay, I guess that sort of makes sense. Because he'll do that. He'll if you go back and watch Casino Royale or Golden Eye, he makes decisions that are like, oh, that's an interesting choice every now and then. But he mostly makes very like middle of the road competent movies. Know what I mean? So would you recommend?
No, not.
Even, I mean, when the movie ended, you stood up in your chair and you cheered and you clapped. You were very enthusiastic.
No, I did not. It was over. That wasn't me.
I was shocked by that.
You were hallucinating.
Really? That wasn't you?
No.
You weren't you?
No. You need to do less drugs, Mr. Crespo.
I need to do more drugs, is what you're saying. You've done more drugs than I have. What are you talking about?
Number two this week.
Can you pull up the Rotten Tomatoes on The Foreigner? I want to know what people are saying, because I thought it was not very good. My uncle,
57%.
Who sees 57%? My uncle who sees tons of movies, not the most discerning critic. He didn't seem too impressed. My dad thought it was okay.
Foreigner adheres strictly to action thriller formula, but benefits from committed and out of character performances from its talented veteran stars. 57%, average rating 5.9.
I'd rather see a two man play between Brosnan and Jackie Chan doing like just a straight up drama.
I'd rather not waste my time on either of those.
We like Brosnan. We like. Why? We like them. Don't we like Brosnan? Don't we like Brosnan? Are we Pierce Brosnan fans?
Number two this week.
He's a Taylor Panama, Drew. He was the. He was also the. What was the one? What's the Thomas Crown Affair? You like that movie?
Blade Runner.
You like it? You like the Thomas Crown Affair, Drew?
I do.
You like it?
I do.
So why are we shitting on Pierce Brosnan now?
Because he was just in a bunch of really bad movies.
In a bunch. Just because he was the November Man doesn't mean we gotta hold that against him forever.
The November Man.
That was that one of the worst movies ever.
Yes, it
featuring
was.
What's his face? Luke Bracey from the Point Break remake.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the hell is a Luke Bracey? That's every time I hear his name. I'm like, what is a Luke Bracey? Sort of like an Ansel Elgort. What's an Ansel Elgort? I'm pretty sure that's what they were driving in the 1920s in Detroit. Like, I got myself a new 1925 edition Ansel Elgort. It's an automatic transmission. Have you heard of this, Drew? It's brand
number
new.
Two this week, Chris.
My old-timey voice. What do you think?
Blade Runner 2049.
Mid-Atlantic accent is what they called it.
We can gross $15 million.
Totally only 60.
Yeah, only 60. When it made $30 million last week, I thought to myself, if it makes $15 million in its second weekend, that'll be good. Because that'll just be a 50. What's actually box office gives you the exact
52.9
52-point drop?
53.9.
That's indicative of its word of mouth, meaning that it has good word of mouth that it only dropped 50% from week to week. If it was bad, it would have made like 10 million, maybe less than 10 million. Or not necessarily if it was bad, but if it was like a mother level reception. But the people who see Blade Runner mostly like it. So it's gonna make, it could eke out 80, maybe 90. What about international? It's gonna be a slow rollout for international. It could still just say the original
4 50. And 98 right now.
98 total of then putting that
158.
158. I think with that international box office, it's gonna a little more than break even when it's all said and done when it comes to, because you have to throw in marketing as well. But it's not going to be a box office world beater. But then again, the original Blade Runner was a bomb. You can't just expect, you know? Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just because it's a cult classic, don't mean automatic. Paid it. Drew, remember what I said when The Foreigner started?
No.
You don't remember what I said to you when the movie was just starting?
No. Nope.
I leaned over to you?
Nope.
As the title card came up. I almost said it again today.
Nope.
I was like, man, I wish we were watching Blade Runner right now.
Yeah. So do I.
And then it said it was The Foreigner.
It was.
It said it was the Foreigner, Drew.
Or it could have been the number one movie of the week. Happy Death Day.
Hey, we saw that too.
Yeah. Right. We can gross $26.5
million. 26.5? Not bad. Does it have a budget?
4.8.
Look cheap.
Yeah. Blumhouse, man.
Yeah, it's Blumhouse. Blumhouse specializes in $5 million and under. Happy Death Day. We saw this, the Groundhog Day version of a slasher film. a girl wakes up. She's a sorority girl. Mm-hmm. She's living on campus. Wakes up on her birthday. Lives through the whole day. At the end of it, dies.
And then wakes up, does it all over again.
Wakes up, wakes up, does it all over
in
again.
In fact, Chris, it is so much like Groundhog Day that they even talk about the movie Groundhog Day at the end of the movie.
They specifically name drop Groundhog Day and Bill Murray at the end of the movie, and
which made me kind of angry.
Did it? I thought it was cute. I got it. They didn't have to. But also, even going into the movie, I was like, did they have to pay for any rights? Did they?
Maybe. I don't know.
How? The concept of just living the same day over and over again, and even to the point of, so the person starts as a bad person in the beginning of the movie, and by the end of the movie, they're a good person, they're understanding and caring, etc., etc.
No.
Do they have to give? I wasn't paying attention to the credits. Was there like a story based on characters by Harold Ramis? And
you know, I don't know. Maybe.
Happy Death Day. We saw this, Drew. We saw this today.
Mm-hmm.
Hours ago.
Yes.
The Bayview Babies?
Something like that.
Their mascot was straight up the Babies.
Baby. Yeah.
And even on the kid's dorm room, Carter, on his dorm room door, they had a sticker that said Bayview Babies.
Yep.
Babies.
Babies.
What school does Babies?
This shitty one in this odd little horror movie.
What a terrible school. So what'd you think of the movie, Drew?
It was all right. It's definitely in this new class of kind of smarter horror, but at the same time, I mean, obviously just from the idea alone, but at the same time, it fell into many of the basic horror tropes.
Sure.
And basic, you know, stupid comedy tropes as well. I mean, in all reality, it was exactly what I thought it was going to be, a low-budget, kind of funny horror movie.
Yeah. It wasn't bad.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, I don't think it was bad at all.
But I never said it was good.
But it isn't something that I would recommend. If like, oh, it was crazy fun, or inventive, or really smart, or it was just like, it was okay.
I mean, it didn't really build any atmosphere. It wasn't tense. It wasn't scary. There was...
It lacked atmosphere to the point where when there were a couple scenes where they did actually throw in music and tried to build up the tension, I was like, oh, well, now they're finally doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. It almost stood out as being like an anomaly in what is supposed to be a sort of a scary movie. It's supposed to be a sort of scary movie. I feel like it never even sounded to be that much of a horror film.
No.
It was a little slashery, but not really. More jokey. And then again, sort of similar to The Foreigner, there's only a moment or two where I felt like, oh, they really actually got inspired here for a second. Like, because the conceit is that, you know, she dies at the end of every day, wakes up, lives the same day over and over.
Some of the times when she died, like, it would go straight into her falling into the bed, which
and then
cool.
She wakes up, the transitions. Yeah. Or one time, when she dies, she drowns, so she wakes up and spits up water, which I was like, oh, that's an interesting detail. I wonder if that means she's being affected by each death. Then they reveal later in the movie. Yeah, each death. So it had some ideas. It had some good ideas. I don't think it ever really got bad. Maybe a little cheesy. But, like, I don't know, a couple more passes on the screenplay. Maybe give it to someone a little smarter. Could have made a fun, like, inventive, really interesting horror film instead of what it is, which is, I would say, an okay movie.
Sure.
Right. Oh no, that's one. That's two. Oh, that's three. Well, you do four.
That's it. Nope.
That's it. No, okay, the standard three. Yeah. All right, nothing special about that one then. It's just that it's weird. It's like the worst. I stopped writing movie reviews. It's been pretty much a full year since I stopped writing movie reviews, and I'm sticking now to podcasting my reviews, the overview style. And first off, I don't miss it whatsoever. I don't miss it. I can spend that time writing other stuff. It's totally fine. And where was I going at that point?
Oh no.
You were sneezing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's been a year.
That's it.
The hardest thing about crafting a review, writing a review, would be when I would be ambivalent towards a movie.
And you had to like be like, well, it sucks, but this, that, and I really just don't want to write this.
Or even it doesn't suck, But it's not really that good. Right. It's just like, I guess it's okay. It's got this going for it, but then, you know, it's just not that great. That's how I'm feeling about Happy Death Day. That it's just like, hey, wah, that type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Or is that what you're feeling too? Mm. What's the Rotten Tomato on that one? Is the Rotten Tomato pretty similar?
64%.
So a little better than The Foreigner, which I thought was kind of garbage. By the end of The Foreigner, I wanted to stand up in the theater and yell, "Why won't you end?" I wanted to yell to scream, "End! End, please!" But it wouldn't. Happy Death Day. I was just like, yeah, whatever. No. What's the consensus?
Happy Death Day puts a darkly humorous sci-fi spin on slasher conventions, with added edge courtesy of star-making performance from Jessica Roth.
Yeah, I thought she was fine. Is that her name, Jessica Roth?
I guess.
I thought she was fine. She seemed like a generic horror teen girl.
White girl.
Early white girl. Oh. All these horror movies have the same like type of cast, you know? Mm-hmm. The young, good-looking white people. Almost always white people. Yeah. So we have one, two, three, four, five segments left.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you know what, Drew? Mm-hmm. My Arctic is empty.
Mm.
My fake Yeti.
You gonna fix that?
So I'm gonna fix that. So let's take a break here.
Okay.
And I'm gonna play a song. We'll do a Crespo Disco break. Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. They put out a cover.
Saw that today.
You saw that today. It's like a 7-minute cover of it. They turn into like a 3-act thing, and it's some just like atmospheric noise, and it cuts into the theme. It's the Halloween theme. It's John Carpenter's Halloween. So I'm gonna go ahead and play this for people. They can check out the Reznor / Ross Halloween cover. It's like a good 7 minutes, 7 minutes plus. And then we'll be back, and we'll see what is numbers 1, 4, 6, 8, and 9 on the remix edition of Cinema Crest Radio, episode 249. But first, I'm gonna get down some of that mango kush, Dad. How's that sound?
Mm-hmm.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do, Joe?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mine aren't labeled.
Yours aren't labeled?
Nope.
Well, that's a cross reference.
Random.
Also, for a second there, I was like, are you a?
Am I what?
You sound like the Frankenstein monster.
Maybe I am.
you were just going. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm a robot, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so what do you need? Oil?
Perhaps.
Hash oil?
Dabs.
For your joints?
Mm-hmm.
You need flaxseed oil for your joints.
Well, you know, no one wants to have rusty joints, dude.
You don't want rusty joints or joint pain.
No joint pain. I mean,
so for your joint pain, you need... What's that commercial? You're the one who's always making the joints. You're the one always making the joints about the joke pain. Don't look at me like that.
It's a look of disappointment, Chris.
Is it disappointment?
It is.
It seemed more like...
No, it's a look of disappointment.
Oh, okay. I thought it was more hateful. Disappointment. I can handle disappointment. I've been handling disappointment for years now. It's fine. I can do that. I can shoulder that burden. All right. Break time. Song's already playing. People for people. So, you know what?
my bunghole, it goes rakakaka, rakakaka, tokotoko. And then sometimes my bunghole goes rawatatatatabop.
Does it?
Welcome back to the second half of the show, Drew. I did it on purpose for you this time, buddy.
Welcome back to the second half.
I did it just for you, man.
Sure you did. You're a jackass.
249 in, 249 out. So that means episode 296. We're going to call it quits. 496. Welcome. I hate math. Welcome back, guys. You're still with us. Good for you. If you're still listening to the show, we love you. If you're still listening to the show, that means you love us. That means you should probably go to iTunes and rate us and review us and help us out.
Only Chris loves you. I just lust you.
Drew, lust, you know what? But I think that's even better, Drew.
Is it?
I would rather have someone lust after me than love me.
Would you?
Yeah, I got people that love me. I have parents still. I don't need love just yet. I mean, they're going to die eventually, and that'll be a very, very sad time for me, a very dark time. I could foresee many alcoholic nights.
Looking forward to that.
Who, you? Go fuck yourself.
I'm looking forward to your downward spiral.
Just because you've had one already doesn't mean... Come on, man. God damn it. Yeah, it's going to suck. I have people that love me. I'd rather people lust after me at this moment. So Drewster lusts after our listeners. Ooh, you guys are lucky. You guys are lucky. Count your lucky stars. Plugs. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Where can people find you on the interwebs, Drew?
At antihero419. All over the internet.
So you got a new computer. You're like back up and running with the graphic design stuff? Sort of, not yet. Or are we missing programs?
I'm a lazy fucker.
You're being lazy about it?
I'm just being lazy. No.
I don't want to say what the show is, Drew, because it's very exciting. You're in on no. You got very privileged PFT info.
Yes. Uh-huh. No, I'm aware. Yeah.
You know exactly what I'm talking
about.
I'll
work on that. Don't worry.
The show that's happening.
I'm going to get working.
You could like totally get on Fiverr. You know, with Fiverr.com, your work doesn't have to be for $5. You set your own prices. People still set their prices at $10, $15, $20, $25, higher, $50. You can set your prices at whatever.
You see, that means I actually have to sit on the computer and do the work, and that's the problem.
You don't like the work enough to have to do it, to actually do it? You don't enjoy graphic design enough?
At this point in time, no, I don't.
Aww, you got disenfranchised with graphic design before you really even got started in on it? Mm-hmm.
I just don't enjoy. I just don't enjoy sitting in front of a computer.
Oh, fair enough. I don't mind it.
It's not that much fun.
I don't mind it. It can be brutal though. I'm already doing it like 40 hours a week just to pay the bills, and then I'm trying to do it with the podcasting and then also my own writing and stuff like that. Yeah, it's tough. Our lives are dominated by this, by a contraption.
Yeah, I don't want my life to be dominated by a computer. So no, thank you.
So now, what's the alternative?
Have my life dominated by 13x13 sweatbox.
Yeah, kitchens. Alright, fair enough. So where can people eat your food?
Places.
Fair enough. I like that, Drew. I like it.
They're not paying us for advertising.
No, they're not. You should talk to them about that.
Hey,
Drew, why don't you tell them?
Oh, shit.
No?
No.
No?
I don't want to mix business with business.
Well, we have so many things in the works, Drew. So many things. Oh, I forgot to tell you about when I talked with Simon yesterday, Drew. I'm going to hit mute on the mics real quick, and people aren't going to know what we're going to say, but then we're going to have a real quick conversation real quick. So people just listen to the music. Excited, Drew. Come on, be excited.
That's awesome.
People, you don't know what we were talking about. You were just listening to music.
Sounds like I got some more work ahead of me then.
Hopefully, we could. Like legitimate work, like actual money.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Like, this can actually be something.
Perhaps. You see how it all goes down?
I'm just trying to be excited about it. It's just more of a matter of convenience because it was next to Afro Circus. A-Team is next to Afro Circus. A-A.
I get it. It's up to
I'm going to pull up the other soundboard so that we can get back to the show. Cinema Crespity, so on iTunes. Guys, rate us and review us. We're also on Stitcher. If that's your jam, I don't know why. But if it is your jam, the other PFT shows are on there as well. Orlando Opinions, Simon Time Trivia Show. We had to put a hiatus on the Pounding the Gap sports show, Drew.
Okay.
sports show was.
I thought the name was funny, but I'm not really into sports.
You don't even listen to podcasts, so it doesn't affect you at all. No. It's a great name, Pounding the Gap, a sports show. Hopefully down the road we can revive it. It's our show. But just due to scheduling, not going to work out. Not going to work out, so the sports show is gone. Fortunately, we have things in the works already. More creative content's going to be coming up in the future, so it doesn't matter. In the long run. But there's plenty of shows you can check out at pftmedia.com. Rate us, review us, all the shows. And you guys, you know, are you still listening? You guys still listening? What's up, Gabe? Gabe's still listening.
I'm barely listening. I'll say what. And I'm sitting here in the studio.
Sure, you don't matter anymore, man. You're just here to read emails and, like, chime in every now and then and let me know that a joke is funny. If I can make you laugh twice a show, then we're doing okay. Shout out to Gabe and Scott. I know you guys are listening. For sure, that's all I know. And some people in Japan. I assume Tokyo. Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto, Remix Edition.
That's not culturally insensitive.
It's not culturally insensitive?
Oh, thank God. Not at all.
That's for a second I thought it might have been. But, you know, I figured we all love sticks. Back to the board. Here we go,
new
Drew.
Movies, Chris.
What are we doing?
New movies.
New movies.
You don't have a drop.
I don't have a drop for new movies, don't I?
No, because normally that just runs in from what we were doing
from box office. Yeah. I usually run from number one right into new movies. And a nice seamless transition. But because of the remix edition to the new age. What was that? What's the R. Kelly lyric? Another creep. Another gross weirdo. Yeah. Pees on children. He pees on children, Christ almighty, and he goes on tours.
Chris, that girl didn't want to get peed on, she had to move.
No, she didn't want to get peed on, but she didn't want to, but she also wanted a career. It's like, it's really bad. You're about how, like, this helps a lot, because dudes are dumb, and they really need to, like, be slapped in the face with this shit. The dude actors who are coming out about being sexually assaulted. Have you heard about that shit? Mm-hmm. Terry Crews. Do you know the specifics of the Terry Crews allegation?
No, I heard he said. I know he said something on Twitter.
It's crazy, Drew. It's like bold. He was at a party, like a Hollywood party, like some after party.
Straight up got grabbed by the dick.
Yeah, but he was with his wife. His wife witnessed the whole thing, yeah. And some producer walked up to him, grabbed him by the dick, and they were just both like, "What the fuck?" And he was like, "I'm gonna go beat this dude's ass," and she was like, "It will be on the news. You will be black man arrested for beating white dude's ass," and I assume white dude beating dude's ass. And I said, "God damn it!" You know, so they didn't do shit and didn't say shit, and that the guy then called him up later and like apologized, but not sort of like in a sheepish way. I don't know. Just it wasn't a full apology. It was weird, man. James Van Der Beek has come out talking about how he's been sexually assaulted. Coming up in the system. And then there's a movie. There's a documentary called Open Secret that for some reason, I don't know, hasn't gotten any traction. For some reason, no one wants to promote this movie. There's a documentary about how that one gets into specifically gay molestation of underage men. Because, of course, that's what dudes are going to focus on, like other dudes being molested. Oh, women casting couch, that's par for course, but oh no, we can't molest Corey Haim and Corey Feldman and Corey, is that all the Coreys?
That guy, all the Coreys.
You're not up on your Corey history?
I don't care about the Coreys.
Man, it's crazy out there. God, I've been saying. I'll take full. I don't know if you want to call it credit, blame, I don't know what you want to call it. But I've been saying Hollywood's been full of shit for years on the show now. And I say for years, meaning like as if the show's been around forever. It's only been around for a couple of years. 4 years. 4 years? How many years does a show have to be around, Drew, for me to say I've been saying something for years?
Two.
That's it? Only a couple?
Years just has to be plural. It's all it needs. And then technically your statement is factual.
Fair enough. New movies on DVD. Perfect segue into the new movies on DVD segment, Drew. Perfect segue. I can finally see Girls Trip.
Sweet.
I'm looking forward to it. I want to see it.
Congratulations.
They hallucinated at one point at a club. Looked like fun. Mm-hmm. Looked like a fun...
You want to hallucinate at a club, Chris?
No, look like I want to watch a bunch of chicks hallucinate at a club. I know you can make that happen. He's like, I can make that happen.
I can make that happen, Chris.
I'll make you hallucinate at a club. Speaking of hallucinating at the club, true, Spider-Man Homecoming comes out. Spider-Man colon Homecoming.
Yes, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man colon Homecoming.
Worst Homecoming of all time.
Hey-ho, hi-yo. Ow. Michael Winslow, ladies and gentlemen, he's leaving. He's got to go. He can't answer any questions about Police Academy. We appreciate the sound effects, Michael Winslow. We enjoyed Spider-Man. I enjoyed Spider-Man.
It was okay. It was fine.
It's fine. You know, that's the thing with all these...
It's the better Spider-Man of the bunch. Still...
Now having thought about it, because you are very critical of the Spider-Man movies more so than most.
Still,
how would you rank the Spider-Man movies now? Give me your official, all the Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire's, the Andrew Garfield's, and now the Tom Holland. Give me the official Spider-Man ranking.
Still we're talking to this day,
six movies in total.
Still to this day, the one with Doc Ock always stands out.
Spider-Man 2 was on TV pretty recently. Mm-hmm. I got sucked into watching
it. It always stands out, mostly because it's the darkest one of them all, and it's pretty action-heavy, and it's... at that point in time, you've already gone through the first movie, so you've already seen the origin.
Uh-huh.
I'm so fucking sick of the goddamn Spider-Man origin story.
Which we've gotten twice out of these six movies.
So
you go, all right, number one official Spider-Man 2. Okay, yeah. I'm writing this down. SP2.
And then
official
probably...
Official number one. Hard number one.
And then probably Homecoming number two.
Okay. And any reason why?
Because it's not an origin story.
Because the way they glossed over it. There's that one scene where Ned was like, so you got bit by a spider?
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I don't
know.
Like,
can I get bit by spiders? Like, spiders.
The spider's dead.
And that's like the end of the scene. Where he's like, the spider's dead. Yeah. Yeah, that's fun. It was cute.
I like that. And then probably the first one.
Okay.
And then.
Which is an origin.
Yeah. And then.
The Tobey Maguire, Sam Raimi one.
And then the first Andrew Garfield one.
Over the first one, over the one with Jamie Foxx as Electro, where Gwen Stacy dies. Because the first one was the Lizard.
I mean, unfortunately, I really don't like Jamie Foxx's Electro, like, at all. Like, that entire him and that character should have just been scrapped.
So you would go, so to recap, Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man... And then you're left with Amazing Spider-Man 2 and Spider-Man 3, which is the worst of all.
Yes.
Which one is worse?
Yes.
So just even. That's how bad you think Amazing Spider-Man 2 is?
Well,
even though they killed Gwen Stacy, the one thing you wanted for years.
They get that part right, thank God.
But it wasn't
still,
enough. It wasn't enough.
No. And still to this day, like I said, I haven't seen a Spider-Man movie that's been like, you know what? That was awesome.
That's funny. That's really funny.
Yeah.
So they're both just equally terrible.
Pretty much.
Are you looking forward to the Venom movie at all? The R-rated Venom movie with Tom Hardy as Ed Brock, and they got Carnage. Michelle Williams is gonna be in
all of those things. Sound like awesome, fantastic, and great ideas.
Yeah.
And it could still be a giant hunk of shit, Chris.
Of course. Of course it could be. I mean, so many movies have had great pedigree and then end up shit. And then there's movies that have, like, there's no way this movie should have been good.
Yeah, I know. So,
ends up being great.
Yeah, so
fair enough.
Never know. I mean, you know?
You never know. You're going with doubt. You're going with heavy doubt.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah. Because almost everything that Fox has done with their Marvel franchises has been pretty subpar.
I was thinking recently about the X-Men First Class and X-Men Days of Future Past. How X-Men First Class was essentially the X-Men Origins : Magneto movie that never got made. They folded that into First Class. You know why I thought about that? Because I was listening to something and they mentioned how Badal Sassoon, the hairdresser shampoo guy, he was also a Nazi hunter. Did you know that?
No.
Badal Sassoon was a Nazi hunter.
Yeah.
I did not know that. And I was like, oh, Nazi hunting. That's fun. Like, that's relevant. I could probably become, like, if I wanted to quit and find some sort of noble pursuit, Nazi hunting is something that I could do in America and do it until my dying breath. And because they're there. They're American Nazis. They're everywhere. They're around us. They got their man in office. And Magneto, First Class, opens with him in Argentina.
Hunting Nazis.
Hunting Nazis. Yeah. It was so fun. It was so cool. And they did a good job with the whole Magneto story. I like First Class, and I like Days of Future Past. Apocalypse is the one bummer of that trilogy. Mm-hmm. But you're also soft on the original X-Men movies, softer than most others. A lot of people really like X-Men X2. Like it. And you're like, you never even want to be into it. No one likes X3.
Yeah.
The Last Stand? X-Men The Last Stand? X3 The Last Stand?
Awful.
No one likes X-Men Origins : Wolverine. Killed the whole X-Men Origins : franchise. Yeah, thank God.
This is awful.
Thank God. They killed that.
Yeah.
But then the Wolverine's good.
Yeah.
Logan's great.
Logan is great.
X-Men First Class? I thought it was good.
It was better than the other X-Men movies.
That's very wishy-washy on your part. And then First Class Days of Future Past, Apocalypse was like... What else do they have? Does Fox do Ghost Rider?
I don't know.
I don't know either. And then they've done Fantastic Four. That's been three turret sandwiches in a row. The third one, Josh Trank Chronicle, should have been the best one. Ends up being maybe the worst one. How's that possible?
Well, I mean, God, the Ghost Rider movies, the first one was awful. The second one was a lot better.
The second one was better. It was okay. It was hamstrung by its PG-13 rating. It was Columbia. Giving it to Neville Dean Taylor was an inspired choice, but then not making it R-rated, ugh. Give it to them again. Let them make the third one.
Yeah.
And they'll make a crash. Jason Statham, the Crank. They'll make a Crank level Ghost Rider movie, you know?
Ghost Rider can be fun, yeah.
It should be fun. Ghost Rider should be fun and exciting and cool. It had ideas. I liked when he got on that giant piece of construction equipment.
It turned.
And then, yes, because vehicle, I guess, he grabs, it takes on the spirit of vengeance or whatever. Like, that was fun. You need more stuff like that. More things like that. But also R-rated. They need to embrace the R-rating. Which they're doing now.
Exactly. I mean, the R-rated Punisher movie was great.
This year, 2017, has been a great year for, financially speaking, for R-rated movies. So we, as adults who enjoy movies, will reap these benefits in 2 years.
Good.
A lot of movies now are being greenlit. Like the Venom movie, right? Yeah. Movies are being greenlit now. Like, oh, well, people are now seeing R-rated movies, right? Well, let's make all these other ones. So, we'll see Venom in 2019, you know? And as long as those movies make money, then we'll keep getting the R-rated movies. And we'll see how. I mean, that's, Nuclear Holocaust will wipe us out, or the AIs will finally come online. That's still a few years off. If we can even survive enough to get to the AIs to take us out.
Or whatever jerk is playing the shitty video game doesn't just hit the off switch.
Yes, exactly. Well, then that wouldn't we then just interpret that as Nuclear Holocaust, probably?
Would we?
I would imagine so. I bet you when the guy shuts off the video game, or when the game shuts down.
And when it all just goes black.
I bet you there's like a white flash.
What
are you expecting when a nuclear bomb goes off? You see the flash, like, no, you cover your eyes, and then you die.
The one turns into a zero, Chris.
The one turns into a zero, and then there's nothingness. Right. It all makes sense. It all fits into simulation theory perfectly. So Girls Trip and Spider-Man Homecoming are your new movies coming on DVD.
In theaters. The Snowman with Michael Fassbender.
Okay. There is a rash of movies that are like... Someone found the 90s vault and they dug it open and these movies got made.
The Snowman is one of them.
The Foreigner was full of trailers of movies that are like, these are 90s movies. Father Figures. We saw that twice, right?
Chris.
What?
How many times have you seen The Snowman trailer?
God damn it, 6-7 times?
Nowhere does it let on that Val Kilmer's in this movie.
What?
Now we gotta see it.
Is he the killer? Spoiler alert, IMDb spoiler. That happens too. You can look up movies on IMDb and the cast list is right there for people to see sometimes.
It says killer.
Does it say killer? Does it say Val Kilmer killer? You motherfucker. Is it Val Killer? The Val Killer.
It says Val Kilmer is in the movie.
What's his character name? Does it say? I want to know now. The Snowman Killer.
he's Gert Rafto.
Oh, he's Gert. Oh, he's Gert Drew. Gert's the killer. I have no idea. It's a book. It is based on a book.
Yeah.
It's. I would assume from a Scandinavian author. Mm-hmm. Like, is it even maybe the guy who wrote?
Everybody's named like Gert Rafto, Arve Stopp, Raquel, Philip, F-I-L-I-P.
I figured the movie was somewhere in
Investigator Svensson.
Svensson. I figured it was somewhere in Europe.
Yeah.
And based on the trailer, and it's not like the girl who the girl with the dragon tattoo. The original name of that book is Men Who Hate Women. It's a very
of course it
yeah,
is.
And it's about yeah, it's very it's funny, right? Well, that's what it's really about. I feel like this is the same thing because it's about a guy who's killing women because he disapproves of them, according to the trailer. Mm. And I don't know where this. It's so out of the 90s, man.
It is.
It's weird.
But it looks sort of interesting.
It looks okay, I guess.
Also yeah. Coming out.
I'd rather see Blade Runner 2049.
Geostorm.
I'd definitely rather see Blade Runner 2049 over Geostorm. That's for sure. The movie's so ridiculous, even Roland Emmerich was like, I'm not going to make this movie. There's a satellite system that controls the weather in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, it's like,
somebody hacked it.
Someone hacked it, and now the world is, oh, Geostorm. Giant hail. Megaquakes. Tsunami. Lightning.
Frozen planes falling from the sky.
Geostorm.
Also coming out
this winter. Experience the Geostorm.
Tyler Perry's Boo 2, a Medea Halloween, Chris.
3D. This winter, experience Medea's Geostorm 2. Blade Runner 3D. In hi-fi.
So yeah.
Boo 2 comes out.
Boo 2.
Boo 2. Mm. We've still only seen the Christmas one, right?
Thank God.
I've also seen Tyler Perry's Temptation.
I'm sorry.
Confessions of a Marriage Counselor, which is, oh boy, if you want to look into the mind of Tyler Perry and what he thinks of women and sexual relations, yes, watch that. It's a sort of thriller drama. It's a drama with no Medea insight. And if you want an insight into what Tyler Perry thinks about women and
check that out. Also, Only the Brave comes out.
I don't know what that is. Is that about Indians?
It's the Miles Teller and Cable are firefighters.
Oh yes, that's the one. The what were they called? The Hot Team, the Hot Shots, Hot Shots.
Yeah,
they were called the Hot Shots, and they were a firefighting team that were like the emergency response extreme firefighting team, and they got fucked in a firefight. What do you even call that? In a wildfire. They got fucked in a wildfire a few years ago and died. Spoiler alert: all these guys die. Miles Teller dies. Josh Brolin dies. They all die.
Spoiler alert.
It's like the 33, but they all die. Mm. Remember the 33? That's the one with the miners? The Chilean miners? The South American miners?
Last, but certainly not least, probably only limited release this week, The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Oh, really? That's coming out this week?
Yeah, it's probably limited release.
Winter Park maybe in a couple of weeks. I definitely want to see that. What's the guy's name? You got the Thermos? Ogos Euromothermos. It's some Greek guy.
Yorgos Lanthimos.
See, I was close with my garbage, with my garbled garbage. It wasn't that racist.
Also, didn't see this until Alicia Silverstone's in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. IMDb with yet another spoiler.
Yeah.
You don't have Leatherface on there. Leatherface is also supposed to come out this weekend. Mm-hmm. You don't see that? Mm-hmm. Leatherface is the Texas Chainsaw prequel about Leatherface when he was a kid. Doesn't it sound?
Because we care.
Right. Don't care.
Do not care. Leatherface is not on my list.
Do not care. Maybe it's not coming out then. We'll see. I thought it was coming out. Alright, there we go. New movies. That's out of here. New movies is out of here. What? You know what, Drew? Before you do that, exactly, I'm going to do this. Where is it? Nope. Not that one. God damn it. Oh.
Is that it?
I had it queued up. Drew Sikak, we're in first row. Juice together, rest the world. You were actually watching the Kill Bill out there.
Mm-hmm. I got a game. Here we go. True. We haven't had many times to spar. We've had very few sparring rounds. Mm-hmm. Many guests this year. You are 19-12.
Sure.
You are doing quite well as the resident. Now, I would say, after all this time doing this, Drew, I would say you are a movie trivia master.
Ha! Became a trivia master before you did.
Yeah. Ha! For movies.
Ha!
I'm working on trivia master overall.
Ha!
All right. We'll have achieved that by March.
Ha!
Of 2018.
Ha!
But yes, I will bestow upon you movie trivia master because you were 19-12 every year. You always have a winning record, except for that 1 year, that weird tie year. That was the first year.
That was your fault, Chris.
It was my fault. I didn't have a tiebreaker. I learned. 11-11-1.
It's a lot of ones.
It's on the board.
It's a lot of ones.
But you were 19-12. Look at that record. You had 19 wins. Mm-hmm. You had 19 wins in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
13 losses last year. 12 losses this year. We've had more guests this year. Drew, this week's sparring round is called "You Gotta Be Kidding Me." Do you know where I'm going with this? Don't take your hands off. Where you going? Get back here. Sit back in your chair. You gotta sit back down. We have to finish the show.
I
want to
walk out so bad.
We have to finish the show.
I want to walk out so bad.
I'm going to name a fake restaurant. You name the movie or TV series. Okay? I'm going to name the restaurant. You name the...
Just start already, damn it.
Pollos Hermanos.
Breaking Bad.
Correct. Number two. See, you're a movie trivia master. Number two. McDowell's.
Coming to America.
That's correct. Into the microphone, please. Number three. The Double R Diner.
Got it.
No. That's Twin Peaks. Number four. The Cafe 80s.
Back to the Future. Part...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Number five, Jackrabbit Slims.
No idea.
Come on, Daddy-O, you can get a steak.
No. Nope.
Don't be a. No.
No.
We're looking. She's the one right there. We're under her visage. She's smoking a cigarette. Uma Thurman.
Nope.
Pulp Fiction. Jackrabbit Slims. That's where they do the dance. You can get a steak here, Daddy-O. Number six, Stan Mikita's Donuts.
I have no idea, really?
That's Wayne's World. Number seven, Pizza Planet. Come on, you got this. Pizza Planet, think.
Nah,
oh, that would be Toy Story. Disaster your heart. Number eight, Ziggy's Ice Cream Parlor.
No fucking.
That would be Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Remember, like, Ziggy, 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 Piggy, and then they make a weird noise, and Napoleon eats a big old... Number nine, Bowling Chop Suey Palace.
Nope.
What if I told you they also sang Christmas carols while you waited for your duck?
No fucking, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You don't know what I'm talking about? They sing it, rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah-rah.
Nope.
Deck the halls with bells of horry. Raw route? No. It's a very racist scene in a very beloved American classic, A Christmas Story, Drew. I have it on Blu-ray. Come on, man. Number 10, Monk's Cafe.
Nope.
That's Seinfeld. Drew got 1, 2, 3 right.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, oh boy, I thought you'd do better. I thought you'd do a little better.
Nope.
So,
you expect too much of me, Chris.
So it looks like the snowman and geostorm is what we have to look forward to. What's our next segment, Drew, on the remix edition of episode 249 of Cinema Crespin Iso?
Swag!
Swag Baggery! Oh, shit! What?
I'm dancing for people at home. Can't see. It's an audio podcast. Imagine me dancing in my chair. Drew, describe my dance.
His elbows are swinging. He's shaking his head as if he's having a seizure. It almost looks like he's having a heart attack. In fact, I think he's having a heart attack. Chris, can you feel?
No.
Can you feel your left arm?
No, I can't.
You're having a heart attack.
No, that's not good. swag bag Drew. You know, you work hard, man. Get that fucking shit out.
I do work hard, which is why I'm not taking any of this crap.
But look at the swag bags. You have your option of bag. Don't you want to see what's in one of those bags?
Not really. I know what's in these bags.
You get poke through those bags. Is there not one thing in there that you may want to take?
No. Nothing.
Fake teeth.
I don't need a tricky works. I don't need a grow zombie. I don't give a crap about your pirate teeth. Seriously, pirate teeth.
Yeah, it was a pirate teeth, man.
Got rampage, kazoos, balloons, stickers that I designed. Yeah, no, not really.
No. Would you like to see what's in the box? You want to take what's in the box?
I'll take what's in the box.
You want to take what's in the box?
I'll take what's in the box.
Yes! Take what's in the box! All right!
What's in the box? I got a Star Wars coloring and activity book with stickers, Chris. It's got what's-her-face, Daisy Ridley on the cover. Which means it must be the new one.
Fuck yeah!
Bendon Publishing from Ashland, Ohio.
It's a sticker activity book.
It is?
Stickers not included.
Wait, what? It says with stickers.
Yeah, I don't think there are any.
but it says with stickers. it says right on the cover.
Also gonna have to provide your own crayons, I guess?
I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously you gotta provide my own crayons.
Do you have crayons?
I don't have crayons. Nuts? BB-8. Ray, Kylo Ren, the mask. Oh no, stickers are up front.
Oh, what? Stickers! Oh shit!
See,
look at stickers! What? Stickers!
The stickers can go on the wall, Chris.
Stickers are going on the wall! What? Bunch of bitches!
I mean, we already have a little Star Wars area, so.
Stickers on the wall, you bunch of bitches!
Why the fuck not?
Why the fuck not is right.
There we go. There we go.
That's the end of that segment there.
Yeah.
Good time. Good time.
Were they, Chris? I mean, there were times. Were they good? You tell me.
I mean, they weren't bad. Ambivalent is the name of the game today. How many segments we got left on the board, Drew?
Three.
All right, here we go. Well, then what's next, buddy? As your sticker up the wall.
Pick of the week.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso streaming.
That's right, it's time for Cinema Crespediso streaming.
Pick of the week.
Oh shit, pick of the week.
What the hell going on today, dude?
Probably should have done that third day.
Probably not, but you know what? You did, so we're gonna roll with it.
Also, I counted. What time is it? 6 hours. 5, 6, 7.
How many drinks?
7 shots of vodka? 7.5? So, how many ounces in a shot?
Usually 1.5.
So about 7 of those, 7 or 8 of those, okay. The last 6 or 7 hours. And some of that,
I mean, do you want a medal or something?
I do. I've been waiting for it. Someone told me it was in the mail.
They lied.
Was it a lie? Mm-hmm. Where's my medal?
I just want a medal. Speaking of medal, shout out to Gabe. He deserves a medal for being an awesome Cinema Crespity Soul listener. He was at the Tom and Dan BDM beach party. Took some sweet ass pictures. You know why the pictures were sweet, Drew? Because he was wearing a shirt with your handiwork on it.
I have. He was wearing one of our shirts.
He was wearing the CCDC Cinema Crespediso shirt, limited run. We're going to have new shirts up pretty soon on a PFT Media Shop sort of site page. It's happening. I swear to God, it's happening. Yeah, sticker it up, dude. Star Wars, sticker it up. Look at this guy. Shout out to Gabe for taking those sweet pictures.
Thanks, dude.
We appreciate it, man. And repping the show, you are the man.
Yeah, 74 degrees, it's not bad.
That's right. We're doing the streaming pick of the week. We were doing the streaming pick of the week. Here we go, Drew. What do you got? What do you got?
Chris, this movie's from 2007.
No shit, 2007. Hold on a second. Okay, next.
Rated R. 1 hour and 54 minutes.
Oh, shit.
94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What? That's a new detail. 94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And it is a crime, drama, mystery, and thriller. Would you like to take a guess?
Crime, drama. 2007, 1996%. 94%. Man, my handwriting is terrible. Rated R, crime drama, 2007 crime drama. 2007 crime drama, 2007 crime drama. I definitely need more details, Drew.
Morgan Freeman's in the movie.
Morgan Freeman, 2007. No way. There's no way, Morgan. Bruce Almighty.
Rated R, Chris.
Rated R. Okay, that's true. All right. That's all right. I don't. All right. I need another name.
Ed Harris.
Ed Harris and Morgan Freeman, 2007?
Yes.
Ed Harris was in that history, right? Morgan Freeman was not in that. Morgan Freeman and both in together. They're both old men, 2007. Okay, Drew, go ahead and give me another name.
Michelle Monaghan,
Ed Harris, Morgan Freeman. Michelle Monaghan was in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Mission Impossible 3. None of those movies had Ed Harris or Morgan Freeman. Drew, you're killing me, Drew. You're killing me with this because you were talking about
Gone Baby Gone.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yeah. Gone Baby Gone. All right. Woo! I'm just having fun with the board. Are we still doing the show?
Are you having fun with the board?
65. Number 65 is just this. What if we just do the rest of the show like this? Gone Baby Gone, directed by Ben Affleck, serial groper, starring Casey Affleck, accused of rape.
The Affleck family.
The Affleck family is gross. You know
what? You do that.
I'm just gonna.
You do that.
I'm just gonna fix this.
Okay. There we go. So, the Affleck family is gross. Ben Affleck directed Gone Baby Gone. It's his first movie. It's actually a really good movie. Well made. Yeah. I'm agree. He does kind of shoot it like it's made for a TV. You know what I mean? Like a lot of close-ups. A lack of actually making it cinematic, big screen, you know what I'm talking about? If you watch Gone Baby Gone, you can almost watch it like it's a pilot for a film, as opposed to an actual movie, as opposed to Argo, or what's it he directs? Go fuck yourself. Both of those movies, they're much more cinematic. Wider shots, big shots, big sequences, music, etc., etc. Gone Baby Gone is much more of a smaller, contained, made-for-TV type of approach to, you know what I'm saying? But it's still good. It's good stuff. I mean, it's a Ben Affleck on the map as like director. It is because people liked it because the ending. It's kind of a morally tough ending. It's not clear cut. I'm gonna drink some more. Hold on a second. You do that. Just keep on drinking. It'll solve all your problems.
So it's not so clear-cut. It's, like, the good guys are trying to solve a problem, but the bad guys
are trying to solve a problem.
They're trying to solve their own problem, right? So, and so it's morally ambiguous. And when people saw this movie, they're like, oh, Ben Affleck directing this. It actually has a kind of nuanced view of humanity, as opposed to, being, like, the writer of the book, Dennis Lehane, who has been writing for decades. He's the one with the nuanced view. Ben Affleck just knows a good story when he sees it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Ben Affleck got a lot of credit for that one. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to say. Well, he brought the film. He made a good movie, is what I'm trying to say. Which is why it's the pick of the week on Netflix?
Yes.
Is it available on any other service?
Not streaming.
Not streaming? No, but people can, if they don't have Netflix, they can rent it on...
Amazon, Fandango Now, PlayStation, Google, Microsoft, Apple.
There you go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. You've just been stickering the wall for the last few minutes. Do you even have stickers left?
17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23.
No, 24 stickers. And you're all done.
Yeah.
All 24 stickers.
Yep.
Okay, well, welcome back to the show.
Like I was here to begin with.
What's next?
Lightning round.
Lightning round! What? Lightning round, Drew!
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Is that it?
No, there's one more segment.
And then there's one more segment. Okay, excellent. We'll end on a great segment. Okay. Lightning round time, Drew. I have 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one, Los Pollos Hermanos.
What about him?
Number two, Oh, wait, that's Drew's account. Reverse the world. Excuse me. Lightning round. Okay. Restart the clock. American Ninja Warrior. Restart the clock.
Go.
Number one. What word do you always misspell?
I can't think of any right now.
All right, good for you. Number two. What is the ugliest vegetable?
I mean, vegetables aren't really ugly. They're vegetables, man. Potato.
Potato. I was hoping you'd say Terry Shadow.
Should have gone there. Should have.
Right, just go there, should've man. Come there. On. Yeah. Their family's not listening.
What's the hardest part of eating a vegetable, Chris?
What?
Getting rid of the wheelchair.
So that's a cannibalism joke?
Sure.
All right. Number three. What food do you crave most often? Number four, when is lying the right thing to do?
Always.
Number five, what is your dream car?
I mean, the car I have now. Pretty nice.
Okay, fair enough. Number six, what is your hometown famous for?
Beaches.
Number seven, what skill would you like to master? Number eight, what skill would you like to forget?
Podcasting.
Number nine, how did you find out Santa was not real?
I'm pretty sure I found the Christmas presents one year, like in the closet or something.
Man, yeah, when you find the Christmas presents, like, what? Then you poke through and you're like, what? It's all for me?
Yeah.
And number
faked being surprised, all that jazz.
Exactly. Number 10. Name one current fashion trend that you like.
The slim fit things. Because I'm a slim person. I've been my entire life.
Yeah.
Now clothes fit me.
Because things are made to be slim fit.
Correct.
As opposed to baggy clothing.
Uh-huh.
The 90s must have been brutal for you.
It was rough.
Poor guy.
Lots of belts.
Yeah. Were any of them all white?
No.
Oh, Drew.
No.
You could rock the white belts.
I mean, I could now, but not.
With some nice brown pants.
Oh. I don't know about that.
Yeah, platform shoes. Corduroy jacket with patches on the elbows.
Never had patches on the elbows. Had a corduroy jacket.
Halfway there.
Had corduroy pants, too.
Had corduroy pants as well.
Mm-hmm.
Halfway there. All right. So what's the last segment?
Billy D's test.
What?
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
That's right, Billy D hits us up every week. You can also check out the postmortem on pftmedia.com. Just click on the link on top for PFTV or search on YouTube. Billy D's postmortem comes right up. Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
Billy D's postmortem is delayed this week.
Oh, what news us?
I had my mom and sister in town and was unable to edit.
Boo!
Wonk, wonk,
family,
wonk.
Family obligations.
I'll also be putting up The Last Words Part 2 this week as well, so look forward to that. I was able to watch a British horror anthology show called Dr. Terrible's House of Horrible. It's a Tales from the Crypt-style show with a lot more humor than you would expect. It stars Steve Coogan in numerous roles and is pretty fucking funny. Check it out on Shudder. Now I have to go do tourist stuff. Stay cool, Billy D.
For sure, but what's his name of again?
Dr. Terrible's House of Horrible?
Dr. Terrible's House of Horrible. We appreciate that. Go, Gadget! Don't look at me like that. How dare you? How dare you judge me?
That's that look of disappointment, Chris. That's the look of disappointment.
Oh, that's disappointment? I can handle disappointment.
It's disappointment.
Alright, thank you, Billy D. We appreciate it. Hit him up.
I'm disappointed in you as a person.
Well, that's fair enough. That's actually fair. It's perfectly fair. Hit him up all over the internet at I Love Blood. Check out his awesome New York Comic Con 2017 pictures. Pretty cool stuff. You see his, that Pennywise mm-hmm. that waves at him?
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff there. Good stuff.
Fucking creepy shit.
Good stuff. Alright. Show's over. Drew.
Chris. Police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. Uh-huh. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't have it bad cause I'm brown, but fuck the police 100%.
But you get it, though.
I do.
Good enough. Good enough. You know what?
A PFT Media production.